Armstrong loses his medals, but will Brand Lance survive?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Cycling legend Lance Armstrong has been stripped of all seven of his Tour de France titles. Armstrong has ended his long-standing fight against doping allegations. He still denies the charges. But there's the matter of his Livestrong nonprofit, not to mention his sponsorship deals with brands like Nike. Scott Tong joins me now to discuss Brand Lance. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Stacey.
Any word from Armstrong's sponsors this morning?
They're standing by him. Nike last night issued a statement saying that Lance has stated his innocence and that its relationship with Lance Armstrong is as strong as ever. We all know he's a cancer survivor, the American Cancer Society CEO, and the head of the Lance Armstrong Foundation, the head of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, all have issued statements supporting him. I guess what's interesting is, if you think about when Tiger Woods took a very public fall, a lot of brands ditched him. But so far, not so with Lance Armstrong.
Well, from a brand's point of view, is this situation with Armstrong different than the situation with Tiger Woods or say, Michael Vick?
Well, it appears a little bit less clear-cut in those cases. In public perception, it might have been more clear that the athlete had done something wrong. And here, Lance maintains that he's innocent, and it may preserve his image. As one marketing expert was quoted quite recently, his marketability is Teflon-coated. So that may be part of what's going on here.
What about Armstrong's Cancer Foundation? How has it been doing?
Very well. The donations are up 20% from a couple of years ago. The average donation is $75, which is pretty good. Even as this case was going through the courts, folks at the foundation were talking about transitioning beyond its affiliation with just one person. And now it's called the Livestrong Foundation to make it a more sustainable enterprise, as they say. I should note there are other brands associated with Lance Armstrong: Oakley, 24 Hours Fitness, and the Trek bike brand.
Scott Tong in Washington. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, you're welcome.
Let's take a look at the markets this morning. There's been a lot of back and forth this week about whether the Federal Reserve will pump more stimulus money into the U.S. economy. That's weighing on the markets this morning. London's FTSE is down just a bit. Germany's DAX is down 0.1%. U.S. markets took a tumble yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.8% to close at 13,057. A federal judge has ruled the Tennessee Valley Authority is liable for the big sludge spill at its power plant near Knoxville a few years back. Millions of tons of coal ash spilled out of a man-made lake and blanketed nearby rivers and land. From WPLN in Nashville, Daniel Potter reports.
The Kingston spill was bad news for nearby landowners like Steve Scarborough, who had been trying to sell some property upstream.
My two boys were both in college, and this was how we were going to have saved up money to pay for it. And then our property values just fell off a cliff.
Scarborough is one of several hundred people who can now try to hold TVA accountable for damages. The agency will spend more than $1 billion on cleanup. Footing the bill, its electric customers.
It can't be a good day for the industry.
Stephen Smith heads up the TVA watchdog Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. He notes the disaster has drawn some looks from Congress, but so far no big rule changes for the industry. Smith figures the EPA shares in the blame for not regulating coal ash.
We were promised shortly after the Kingston spill that the EPA was going to engage this and see the regulation that has never been done through to completion, and they've more or less punted on that.
Smith doubts yesterday's ruling will do much to spur new regulations. He says the rulemaking process has become political and probably won't move much until after the election. In Nashville, I'm Daniel Potter for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
A little later this morning, we'll get new data for durable goods orders. Those are orders for big ticket items like computers. It's often looked at as a sign of how much businesses are spending, and it may be a good indicator of what we can expect in coming months. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
The durable goods orders contain a whole lot of data about the overall direction of the economy. Steve Fazzari is an economist at Washington University.
So durable goods are anything that is designed to last more than 3 years. There's things like cutlery, like spoons and forks and knives, and there's airplanes and ships. It's just stuff that's designed to last.
Fazzari says durable goods are kind of like the canary in the economic coal mine in the sense that it tracks quite closely with consumer confidence. He shows me a chart tracking durable goods orders over the last few years.
Here you can see how really early 2010 there was a big recovery in durable goods. Now when we're into 2012, you know, we get these little wiggles from month to month.
Those wiggles, says Fazzari, could indicate an economy that's slowing back down.
You're not going to be out buying these things unless you're feeling a little more optimistic about the future, or if you have to put something off, you might put off durable goods.
But durable goods statistics aren't sales of cars down at your local car lot or that refrigerator that you bought at Home Depot. Rather, it's the orders, shipments, and inventories manufacturers carry from month to month, the first link in a supply chain to consumers.
They started to kind of pull back because there were years when they just overproduced. Their expectations were a little bit off.
Mike Mosbleck is the manager at Maplewood Bicycle. Ever since the recession hit, Mosbleck says it's been harder for his suppliers to fill orders late in the year.
In the last, say, 5 years, a lot of the manufacturers don't want to have a bunch of stuff in the warehouse just gathering dust. No one's to be caught holding the bag.
In order for the U.S. to put the recession permanently in the rearview mirror, Americans will need to buy a whole lot of those bicycles and also airplanes, medical supplies, and lawnmowers. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, the next time you go to your mailbox, you may need to lift with your legs. The U.S. Postal Service is giving junk mail giant Velasys Communications a discount on its mailings as long as the company agrees to send at least 1 million extra pieces of mail in the next year. The post office says this is part of an effort to turn its dire financial situation around and, quote, increase the value of mail. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.